child is born with a heart of gold. Earth, Wind, and Fire, Maurice White, passing on, man. Welcome to the show. Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studios of eloquentonline.net in beautiful, sunny New Braunfels, Texas, and a long, long walk, but a short flight on the Millennium Falcon up to Charleston, South Carolina, keeping it blue, keeping life simplified, Dr. Troy Hall.
Hey, Jason. I am so excited about our power of performance today, but you know, I do have to tell you that people ask me, you know, what's it been like since the first of the year? And I said, you know, one evening I was waiting for the ball to drop, and the next morning I was looking for my shadow. So if that tells you the compression that I've had for the month of January, then you certainly can understand that.
I totally feel it. I totally feel it. In fact, I sent one of your buddies, Amy Spillman, an email that started with the line, "Where did January go?" I do feel that compression. Hey, folks, the name of the show is The Power of Performance. If your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Brought to you by XDI. I got my tax statement this week from South Carolina Federal and some other places. And if you are looking for multiple tax forms to the same member in a beautifully done, laser-printed pursuit of perfection, give our buddies a call, clicker, whatever you need to do, get a hold of them. X-Ray Delta India. .com, XDI.com, XDI Incorporated. And don't forget to check out the XDI Chili Challenge. You can bring back $10,000, and you can figure your own taxes on that, that you can give away to a charity. I don't know if they tax charitable contributions, but real quick, sad man, I loved Troy, Earth, Wind, and Fire. They were one of my favorite bands as a young kid growing up listening to AM radio.
Oh, okay, good.
So I had to play that. Well, I don't know. I feel bad. I feel like, is it just me or all the musicians passing away all of a sudden? I didn't feel the same way about the Eagles. Never a big Eagles fan. Loved Earth, Wind, and Fire. There's actually I put a picture of the album cover that song comes from, Way of the World. There's a guy standing on it. You'll know exactly who it is. It's like he's saying, what did you say? And I used to try to make that stance when I was talking to my mom. I think I did it once. I think I only got away with it one time. But anyway, it is The Power Performance, and that's a band that left people wanting more. And this show leaves people wanting more because we talk about relevant stuff for credit unions. And with the Iowa caucuses behind us and the primary season before us, what a great time to visit with NAPCU's Director of Political Affairs, Dan O'Brien. He's going to talk about the impact political events and the political process has on the credit union marketplace. And we're looking forward to talking to him, and we're going to do it all right after this.
Well, you know, when the first day I started, they put me actually on the teller machine, which was called a TC750. It was the only technology we had, and it was a machine that you had to press 17 buttons to process even a deposit to savings. And if you messed up one of those 17 buttons, it shook, then ding, popped open and rejected you in front of everyone. So it was glorious.
We have a similar machine for Jason, but he doesn't have to touch 17 numbers for somebody to be rejected.
So,
yeah, boy.
Much faster today.
Absolutely right. His name is Dan O'Brien. Hey, Dan, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Jason and Troy.
It
thanks for having me today.
So good to have you. Hey, so tell us about you and your career with credit unions.
Absolutely. You know, I've been a lifelong member of a credit union. I grew up, just outside of Detroit, Michigan. And just to give you a little bit of background, on my way to Washington, D.C., after college, attending college at Ohio Wesleyan University in Ohio, that's kind of where I got my political bug, working on campaigns at the state and federal and presidential level. On the unsuccessful John Kerry presidential campaign, and when I got to D.C., I continued working as a political consultant and working for various trade associations before I came to NAFTA.
So you're at NACU, and you get to work with my buddy Dan Berger.
Yes, our leader.
And Alicia.
Alicia, yes, she is our head of regulatory affairs and does a fantastic job.
Good. So you know then that anything that you say, if you don't tell me the truth, a lie meter is going to kick on. You know that, right? No, I'm just kidding. So I know we really do appreciate, you know, from our credit union's perspective, we really appreciate the great work that you guys do at NAFCU. And also, I guess I should say, please send out a special happy birthday to our very own Dan Berger, who's celebrating a big one this year. So we want to make sure that I say that before we go too far. But why don't you tell us a little bit more about, you know, what do you do with NAFCU, and of course, then how does your role help credit unions?
Sure. I've been with NAFCU for almost 5 years now in the political affairs department. And what we do in the political affairs department to help credit unions is get them involved in the political and grassroots process of engaging their members of Congress and candidates to educate them on credit union issues. And we do that in a variety of different ways. Most notably is that we work with our members to make sure that they are connecting with their member of Congress and their candidates so they have a better understanding of regulatory burden, legislation, but also just telling them what they're doing in the community that has impact on their constituents.
No, that's very cool. Well, you mentioned something to me the other day that I honestly hadn't really thought about. But no matter what happens, you know, you mentioned the Kerry campaign. In November, we're going to elect a new president. President Obama is finishing his second term. And you told me that's going to have an impact on credit unions no matter who the next president is. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, when we were speaking the other day, I was, you know, highlighting that, this is a unique time in history with the presidential elections. We went from President Clinton being elected for 8 years to George W. Bush being elected for 8 years, and now President Obama, you know, finishing out his 8-year term. And the next president's going to be elected, either a Democrat or a Republican, is going to have a big impact. And we don't know yet if that's going to be for 4 years or for 8 years down the line. But what we do know is that there's two different visions that will be out there coming from the different parties, and that has an impact on how the regulatory agencies are functioning, what the messaging is going to be to Congress. The president's putting out his final budget next week, what those budgets will look like in terms of how Congress is going to, you know, use their resources. So it has a huge impact on credit unions just overall in terms of what will be going on, for the next 4 years.
Is there anything specific that credit unions need to do? We get the grassroots efforts. You know, we participate. You know, for instance, you know, we're involved in you know, just the regulatory issues by providing comment letters. I believe Monday is the date for the field of membership comment letter to be complete. So I know that we've got some of those types of things that we can do, but is there anything more specific that you might provide to credit unions that we can do, you know, on a state or national level that helps us, you know, really not just respond to legislation that's already happening and in our back door, but what should we do for the political process to get the right candidate in the position so that it really assists us, so that we're not doing everything from, we're not fixing something that's already hurting, but we're actually doing a preventive process. So can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head on that one. One of the things that I always tell when I talk to our members is that good politics makes good policy. And, you know, the reason I say that is that each member of Congress and candidate has to get elected. And so you can play a role in that process. And there's, you know, many ways that we encourage our members to do that is to invite them to your credit union, to have conversations, discuss the issues that are affecting you, you know, with regulatory burden. How are these regulations hurting you now, whether it's, you know, services you're providing your members, loans you're providing your members, You know, what is affecting your numbers with this legislation or regulation that's coming out? And so when you're talking to the candidates, you can invite them there. Do you have any, you know, events that are going on that they should be knowing about? Or are you opening up a new branch? It doesn't have to be so much as a formal thing, but it does go a long way to start building those relationships and getting an understanding so they know the impact that you're having on their constituents.
Fascinating. You know, we've probably had over 100 CEOs on the radio show since we started doing it, and whenever we ask them a question like, hey, what are some of the challenges and what are some of the rewards of leadership, they always go right to regulations on the challenges. Since you are actively involved up there in D.C. on pretty much a daily basis when Congress is in session, what are some big items that you're watching that might have a big impact on credit unions this year?
Well, some of the big items that we're watching, you know, as Troy mentioned, the comment period is ending for field of membership. You know, we think this is a positive thing coming out, is helping to modernize field of membership for credit unions and giving more consumers access to credit unions. We think that's a good thing. We expect, you know, in the first quarter here that the member business lending rule will be finalized. And while that might take a little while to be implemented by the NCUA, we think that's another positive outcome coming out of the NCUA. On the legislative side, we're really watching data security. There's the Data Security Act of 2015, which is in the House and the Senate. And we are, you know, constantly watching data breaches happen, you know, if not daily, weekly, at various merchants, and think that they should be held the same accountable standards as financial institutions such as credit unions.
Interesting.
Awesome. Well, you know, that doesn't happen, though, all the time. So do you think that this legislation is actually going to create the proper stick, so to speak, since obviously the CARAT program hasn't worked?
I think it's a step in the right direction. You know, it's one of the things we're doing. Doing nothing continues to hurt, you know, the consumers and, you know, credit unions in terms of trying to be proactive and, you know, are held to a higher standard.
Well, I got to say, Dan, that was a great political answer to a question. But, you know, that's part of the process. It is part of the process to give and take and find balance. And I kind of said on Twitter earlier, kind of a bit of a satire, that it takes more than a hashtag. It takes work. It takes you being up there talking to people and visiting with congressmen and folks in the Senate. I think it's fascinating stuff to be involved in. I could never live and work in D.C., but I think it's fascinating culture that you're around each and every day. But I wanted to ask you, what are some things you enjoy doing when you're not at work?
Well, I grew up, you know, as I mentioned, just outside Detroit. So I grew up basically with ice skates on my feet. So I love playing hockey and watching hockey when I'm not at work, and I love to travel. You know, you had mentioned you got a couple states to go before you visit all 50. You know, I'm still trying to do that on my own too. I got to recently hike the Grand Canyon a few months ago, and that was an amazing experience as well.
Awesome. Well, listen, if people want to get a hold of you, they have any questions about you and what you're doing with NAPI, what's the best way for them to do so?
My direct line is 703-842-2237, and my email account is dobrien@nafcu.org, and feel free to reach out to me anytime.
Awesome. Hey, listen,
really
we want
great.
To thank you. Yeah, we want to thank you so much. Like I said, it is that political season. I really, really enjoy it, and I know you're busy, so I really want to thank you for taking some time out of your morning to join us. You have a great, great rest of the weekend.
No, thank you both.
Oh, real quick, Dan, you got a pick for the Super Bowl?
I'm wanting to see Peyton Manning go out on top of the Denver Broncos, so I'm cheering for the Broncos.
All right, I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way. Hey, man, you have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon. Bye now.
All right, thanks, Dan. Bye-bye.
Troy and I'll wrap it up right after this. right. If you can send me a link to a webinar that features Rush, Dave Matthews, Earth, Wind, and Fire, and Wild Cherry, please do so. Hey, Troy, I got to say, I spoke at over 400 credit union events, and there was always like a dinner on one of the nights to raise money for the PAC. It really is a big part of the credit union marketplace, isn't it?
It is. You know, I mean, we do a lot for the, I mean, the political advocacy is one of the number one, you know, tenants for the support that we receive from our national trade associations. And that's what we expect from them, is to do that, because realistically, without politics, we would not be able to bring together the factions across this country that have different viewpoints and different ways. We listened last evening. We were at a chamber event here in Charleston, and we listened to a pundit talk a little bit about the politics. So I'm going to just say some of the things, but not necessarily reference the individual as per requested from being there. But in that discussion, what I found to be interesting is that there is a representation of multiple cultures and multiple minorities, if not all of them, throughout the United States. And the message that he delivered was that politics, whether sometimes we don't like it and sometimes we avoid talking about it, politics is a good thing because it brings all of this particular, you know, conversations and things together. What we have not done as good a job is we haven't done as good a job finding the candidates who will actually carry out the process and to actually do it. And sometimes it's that the process of actually selecting is great. The problem is we don't always get a great selection to pull from,
right?
Which I thought was sort of an interesting sort of perspective on that. And some of the other things that I learned about the whole process, which really makes sense, and you know, I've talked before about the impact that this demographer had on me in understanding population and trends in people and what makes that and how that makeup, you know, impacts other aspects of business, economy, life in general. And so we've always looked at population. And one of the things that I mentioned to you before is the fact that some of the problems we have with Social Security will be solved when the millennial generation becomes fully engaged and working in 2020, because now we will have a larger pool of people paying
right.
into it than that group that will be taking out from it. So what we have to look to is to see, is the population for Gen Z going to be equal to or greater than the population for Gen Y? That will give me great comfort to know whether or not I'll continue to have Social Security benefits until I expire. So that's one thought. But one of the things I thought was interesting is that generally in the two parties that we have in the United States, the Democratic and the Republican Party, the Democratic Party is primarily made up of the minority groups. A large number of minorities subscribe to the mindset of the Democratic Party. And the what you might think as the traditional Caucasian is the Republican group. And so putting out on a map last evening, what we saw very clearly is that there are just 10 states in our union today that actually create the swing vote. They actually create the swing momentum, so to speak, for the candidates. And it's really, so you kind of think about it from a numbers game. Here you are, pretty even keel. I believe that the correct answer is you need 270 electoral votes in order to claim. And what you have are 206 that are made up for the Republican group and 247 for the Democratic group. So those additional 10 swing states then create the momentum of whether you can elect a Democratic or Republican candidate. Well, the interesting perspective is this, and if you just go on population and numbers, we know that the minority population in this country is growing. If the likelihood is, and I'm not even just saying that there's studies to prove this, I'm just saying if the likelihood is that more folks who are in a minority subscribe to a democratic process, we may eventually get to a point that a Republican almost could never win the White House just based on the numbers.
Oh, well, trust me when I tell you that that concern is fueling a lot of the energy you're seeing in the election so far. There's a tremendous aspect of that. And like I said, I love this kind of stuff. I have a degree in American history. I've always been into politics. Dan's on Capitol Hill every day. My congressman, Lamar Smith, who's still there. My first date with my wife was a Lamar Smith barbecue here in down the road in San Antonio, a fundraising barbecue after I'd been elected president of the College Republicans. And I think it's interesting that we're blowing up that demographic assumption right here on the show, because of course I'm the brown Republican, and it sounds like Dan might be a Democrat, but either way, you're absolutely right. Though there is a tremendous I hate to call it a concern or a fear, but there is certainly, it's not a secret anymore, that the demographics in America are changing. When you look back at a president that you and I can both remember, Ronald Reagan, where 70% of the people voting were just your average white man, just your average white folks, it is a fascinating thing to watch.
Yeah, and I also want to just qualify this to them, because someone might come back and say, well, but if you just are basing it on demographics only, then why didn't we see just a complete Republican Party, representative always win? Well, okay, so a couple of things I want to clarify. Number one, about 25 years ago, 25 of our states were swing states, not to the 10 that we have today, and it really just it's based on population and the minority growth. The other thing to also kind of put in perspective is that until the Reagan era, there had not been, FDR, who had the four terms, that scenario. But I believe this pundit recalled that until the Reagan era, there had not been a situation where eight years, two terms by a particular a party was then followed again by the same party. That typically two terms, and then there's change in leadership.
Right.
Two terms potentially in a change in leadership. I mean, that's kind of the message. So one of the things that he mentioned is even with all of this information, there could even be some changes in it. So I kind of didn't want to present this information, first of all, like, hey, I'm knowledgeable. I'm just repeating some knowledge that I learned that caused my mind to think a little bit. So I'm repeating it to help people think a little bit about how this impacts. But the point of all of this is not to underestimate the value of the demographics that occur within the population and the trends of the population and how it actually opens up for us. And for those of us in business, we have to be thinking about that. We have to be cognizant of what is happening in our local market and the way we see the change in demographics and the way we might see it regionally, nationally, and, of course, globally.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. Hey, folks, you're getting PhD level intellect on the show every week. And, of course, I will also allow that people that tune in to hear about cool marketing things and music stuff, you know how it is. There are some people, when people start talking about politics, their eyes glaze over and they're just not as into it. But it is a very, very important part of the credit union model, which relies upon that tax-exempt status. And don't forget, folks, it is tax season. Just check them out, XDI, xraydeltaindia.com. I don't have to say anything else. There'll be plenty of credit union professionals that have given their name in credit unions to be used as testimonials on that website. Of course, Troy, do you have any picks for the Super Bowl this Sunday?
It's really interesting, but I love it whenever a person has a great career and they get to collect their Academy Award and go and stay home. I like that, okay? But, being here on the coast, the Carolina Panthers, I mean, that's they're close, and, so therefore I kind of feel like my heart is for them. Although I will have to tell you that if the Cleveland Browns were in there, I would be voting against them and going for the other team, even though they were close to where I lived. But So,
well, I'm the same as you. I had the privilege of seeing, not seeing, but being a fan of the San Antonio Spurs when David Robinson, a great American, an athlete, went out as a winner in 2002 when they beat the New Jersey Nets way back when. So I guess I have part of that. Honestly, I just want to see a good game. I hope it's not boring. We want to thank Dan O'Brien for being on the show today. You can find a great bio on him over at the NAFQ website. We want you to tune in next week. We're going to visit with a real Marine, Bill Burney, who is the president of Pacific Marine Credit Union. And we'll get California checked off the list next week. And, of course, last thing here with 3 minutes, Troy, just real, real quick. I got an email today from somebody that had sent out like a newsletter in error. They had sent the same one they had sent out in November. And I got to tell you, Troy, I'm seeing so much of that in our marketplace right now. And folks, we talk about performance every week on this show. If you'll treat every correspondence, every email, every tax form, every statement with the meticulous precision that a musician looks at a sheet of music and pay attention to details, you will not be sending out apology emails to every single one of the members in your audience. Troy and I hope to put on a perfect show every Friday. I messed up the intro today for the first time probably in years because I added that extra song. But these little disruptions are going to happen in your day. And if you're not interested in pursuing perfection, you probably shouldn't be in the credit union marketplace. Take it from the guy who transferred $25,000 out of someone's account when it was supposed to be $2,500. Details matter in music and banking. Our objective here every week is a perfect performance. It rarely happens, but that is our objective, Troy. Dr. Troy.
It is. And Jason, what I want to say is this. Anyone who believes that there will not be distractions in business is definitely not clued in. And so that's what I will say to this is the quality of your brand is going to be based on how you recover from distractions, not from how you avoid them.
Yep, I totally agree. Yes, I just got confirmation. I hate making assumptions, but Dan just emailed me and said, yes, he's a Democrat, which is fine. I've got lots of Democrats in my family, but I do enjoy the race, man. I do enjoy the process, and I do enjoy winning. And it's been 8 years since I won, so I'm looking forward to this year. Hey, Troy, you have a great, great weekend out there in Charleston, South Carolina, where even when it rains,
the sun still shines, my friend.
And signing off from New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, my name is Jason Dias. You've been listening to The Power of Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Until next we speak, Dr. Troy and I will talk to you all next week. Bye.
That's all, folks.